This meeting is now being recorded.
Judge Conklin.
I'm back again.
Ms. Fleming.
Yes, here.
Judge Barton.
I'm back.
Judge Blum.
I'm back.
Judge Buckley was absent. Judge Cope.
Here.
Judge Fannin.
Here.
Judge Gabe.
Here.
Judge Jackson.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Marginis.
Here.
Judge Nadler.
Here.
Judge McCabe.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Thompson.
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Bartleson.
Here.
Ms. Carter.
Here.
Mr. Finke.
Here.
Mr. Harrigan.
Here.
Mr. Planet.
Here.
Mr. Roddy.
Here.
Ms. Romero-Soul.
Here.
Mr. Taylor.
Here.
Ms. Turner.
Here.
Thanks. Tanya couldn't make it. And Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
And we'll try Mr. Wardlaw?
Here.
And Mr. Theodorovich?
Here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. So we're back. We've moved through the approval of the minutes. I was just briefly talking about the input I received, and I think I need to clarify the approach a little bit. I think it's best what we're trying to do is honor the open meeting rule and at the same time make every effort to be as inclusive as possible, but also recognize that what we're doing now is providing input as TICBAC members based upon information we've received rather than from specific courts. So given that, the information that I received concerning possible BCPs related to funding of all court buildings throughout the state and within that BCP using identifiable criteria as to what court buildings should be renovated versus newly built. So that was the most substantial input I received, though I'm circling back with certain members to try to get additional information. That moves us next to Rebecca Fleming. Rebecca, were you able to get any suggested BCPs?
Yes, I did, actually. And there's a couple overlapping themes here, but there was a significant interest in, I spoke with San Mateo, Stanislaus, and then, of course, I have Santa Clara's input as well. There's some significant interest in NSIs for the state or for the court employees. The interpreter funding for the interpreter fund that will presumably fall short or is close to falling short. The self-help center, additional funding. There was an actual estimate given to me of a 15 to 20% more would fully restore in some courts services. The 1% cap. Then we also had a reference to operational costs, general operational costs that would fall into the funding methodology. Technology costs, the civil assessment, MOE, and related obligations, and facility maintenance and improvement. And that would be it. That covers all three courts.
So Judge Barton, and thanks Rebecca. Judge Barton, any information you received generally about BCPs?
No, I didn't get any feedback on anything that's not already included in the list of potential BCPs or existing BCPs.
Okay, thank you. Judge Blum, any additional BCP proposals that you were made aware of?
No, and I contacted Alpine and Sierra County, and of course I'm from Lake County, but no additional BCP information.
Thanks so much. Judge Buckley, but Sherry, you said that you had his proxy. Do you know if any general information was provided to Judge Buckley about, or for that matter, now that you're with us, about BCPs?
I do not know about the courts that may have been assigned to Judge Buckley, but I'm prepared to talk about San Benito and San Bernardino if now is the time.
That's great. And again, this is so, as TICBAC members, we're talking generally just about.
No, I understand.
Great. Go ahead.
So
Sorry.
I'll start
Perfect.
With San Benito. And I know that there are many of the things I'm going to list for both of these courts are already included in the BCP, in the governor's proposed budget, but I think it's important that we know there's support for them. In San Benito, it's really important for them to keep the funding for the CMS system replacement. And the other thing they mentioned, and it was also mentioned by San Bernardino, is an overall concern that court security funding is an issue. While they recognize it's not a court responsibility, they both did mention that as something that they think is going to become a bigger problem for the courts. For San Bernardino specifically, some of the things that are important to them are new judgeships and funding for staff, ongoing funding for language, which was included, facilities, construction, and maintenance, which was included in the governor's proposed budget. They also listed one that I think is important that I'm hoping that we will all talk about, and that is the civil assessment, which was one of our priorities last year, the civil assessment backfill. Specifically, there is an equity issue that impacts San Bernardino significantly, and that is the legislative decision to not fund the MOE offset, and only certain counties are now tasked with reimbursing the trial court trust fund for that whole. That's a big deal for San Bernardino. I think it's a big deal for several other courts. And so I think I've now appropriately addressed those things that were important to those courts.
Great.
Jerry, can I ask, between new judgeships and civil assessment backfill, can you list the other ones that were in there?
Say that again?
Between new judgeships and the last one you mentioned, what was after new judgeships?
Okay, I'm going to say I'm very high level, and some of them, like I said, are in the governor's proposed budget, and so I don't want to spend a lot of time on them, but ongoing funding for language access plan, that's there. Facilities, construction, and maintenance, it was in the proposed budget. They mentioned the sheriff running out of funding, as did San Benito. Real-time benefit cost change funding, which was included in the proposed budget. And then the civil assessment that I just mentioned.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Great. Thanks, Sherry. Appreciate that very much. Judge Cope?
So I should say that I've left messages for Calaveras, and they've left messages for me, but through no fault of their own. I don't know what input they would have, but Riverside's input hasn't listed anything that hasn't already been discussed or listed in one of the other categories, but for prioritization purposes, they are, no surprise, looking for funding for new judgeships with staff funding and the other issues that have been raised.
Great. Thanks, Judge Cope. Judge Fannin?
Yes, I spoke with Lassen and Mariposa, and they touched on all the things that have been raised before, but with regard to new funding for case management systems, they also want to ensure that there's a pot of money to help them maintain those systems going forward. They're concerned about their ability to do that. And then resources for to hold on to their staff, they're concerned about.
Great. Thank you. Judge Gabe?
I don't have any additional BCP suggestions beyond what's been discussed.
Thanks very much. Judge Jackson?
Hi. I had the opportunity to speak to Plumas County as well as Santa Cruz. A lot of the things have already been raised, and it's also included in the governor's budget, but just a few things were emphasis. For instance, at one court, they are concerned about keeping the resources for their staff. There's been a remarkable decrease of staff where they're not fully funded, so that is a big issue, and they'd like to see the budget address that. Further, what's been addressed in the governor's budget is the court reporter's funding, but for the technology, alternative technology to capture and create verbatim records, they'd like to see funding in that direction, particularly in view of the recent Supreme Court decision, limited jurisdiction where you can use electronic recording devices. They also discussed self-help centers. They like to see that being fully funded. Record management, funding for the records management to digitize a lot of the legacy records. And, of course, everyone's concerned about the 1% cap that can be either increased or eliminated, and possible suggestions of a different methodology for funding our court. But everything else that has been raised by everyone, that's basically what they've raised as well.
Great, Judge Jackson. Thanks so much. Judge Marginis?
Thank you. I spoke with the PJ at YOLO, and he sent eight priorities, and I shared them with staff. But in any case, of the ones that haven't been discussed yet, he would like to bring trial courts to 90% funding per WAFM. Again, increase the fund balance, no surprise there. I'm sorry, the restriction. He suggests up to 15% of operational expenditures, continued funding for health and retirement benefit increases, but change to actual, not in arrears, an ongoing mechanism to address COLAs for trial court employees, full court reporter funding for family law, or permit an electronic pilot program for recording for any non-constitutionally mandated cases, dependency funding, and the others were already discussed. So that's my report.
Great, Judge Margins. Thanks very much, Judge Nadler.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I contacted the PJ of Yuba. The only thing new that she was concerned about is funding for security, not so much sheriff. Her situation was she's in a multi-use building. The sheriff moved out, and she is left without adequate screening equipment, regular glass, not bulletproof glass, and she would like to see some funding so that those security issues might be addressed.
Okay. Any other input?
That's it.
Great. Thanks. And Judge McCabe? Judge Brian, did you come back into the room, or are you still?
Looks like Brian. I'm gone. I don't have anything to report.
Great. Thanks very much. Judge Thompson?
I reached out to the presiding judge and CEO of Imperial County. The CEO of Imperial County got back to me. Their issue, kind of a general theme of what I've heard, funding under WAFM 82.9%. They'd like to see general increase in new funding to maintain staff. Extremely high turnover rate, as they can't provide appropriate cost of living adjustments. Second, they like to see the opportunity for a new jury system. They need to replace it, archaic, and they like ability funds for implementation of a VRI system to help improve services to the community.
Great. Thanks, Judge Thompson. Ms. Bartleson?
I had reached out to Siskiyou, and most of the items have already been addressed by everybody else that's spoken. The one thing that hasn't been touched on, though, is for the small, remotely located counties, inclusive of Humboldt, is the cost of forensic evaluations, and we need a funding path for that to not come out of our general funds, and meaning we're having to freeze positions to pay for the evaluations and not staff to do the work. In Humboldt, there's a need not only for additional judicial officer, but also facilities. We don't have space in order to get the cases out, and our caseload continues to grow. And then a different approach, of course, with the 1% cap, which could possibly, if not eliminated, look at having it increase like a 5% hold in the trial court trust fund that the court could access. Security is an issue because of outdated systems and the ability with technology for people to come in and actually get fobs that they can access your back secure areas. I think that's about it.
All right. I appreciate that very much. Thanks. Mr. Finke?
Thanks, Judge. I spoke to the PJs and CEOs of Kern and Inyo, and so I'll report on their thoughts and also the thoughts of Alameda in no particular order. I think at this point my list is entirely duplicative, but I'll just go through it just so that you can see the level of support. All of the courts were concerned about just general restoration of trial court operation funds, unrestricted funds. Related, there is a concern, I guess I'll relay it, over the fact that the sort of the state-level branch entities get money earmarked for COLAs and the trial courts don't. So that was a concern as well. They kind of flowed in and out with the general operational costs. There's a need for additional self-help funding. There was a concern about the level of funding for courthouse construction, particularly for those courts that were on the cusp of getting a new building, and then that didn't go through. There is certainly a concern with the level of security funding, and both in terms of the funding available for sheriffs, but also, as was noted earlier, with non-sheriff security expenses. Like many have reported, there is certainly a need for judgeships that have been created but never funded to be funded. And lastly, there's support for continued funding for dependency counsel. So that concludes my report.
Great. Excellent. Thanks so much. When we took roll, Mr. Harrigan and Mr. Planet had not joined us. Are either of you two back on the line?
Kevin Harrigan's here.
Great, Kevin. Go ahead.
Okay, I had the opportunity to get input from both Glenn and Del Norte counties, and so I don't know that there's anything new, but just very briefly I'll go through the bulleted suggestions. So electronic recording equipment was of interest, equipment for any VRI activity related to interpreters, ongoing security dollars for security cameras and update of alarm systems. Some particular monies for small courts related to their lack of IT staff, just to try to move various endeavors along. Dependency council funding was of importance. Facilities projects, there for local roof replacements, very basic things. Some of this is also, as we all know, included in the governor's budget. Ongoing funding mechanism to address cost increases related to trial court operations. The increase or removal of the 1% cap was noted. And then also noted is discretionary monies for unfunded mandates. That is my report.
Great. Thanks very much, Kevin. Mr. Planet.
Thank you, Judge. So I had the opportunity, I got some feedback from Mono County. Their priority, again, some of these will be repetitive, but number one was priority funding for replacement of legacy case management systems, funding for replacement and updating of courtroom evidence presentation equipment, and third, funding for IT infrastructure such as servers and network equipment like switches and routers. So that was from Mono. I had a chance to talk to the people in Ventura, and on our list was additional funding for dependency counsel. We also identified a developing, maintaining, and updating of judicial counsel fillable forms. We also support the 1% cap and increased funding for facilities maintenance as well as the CIVA backfill. And that concludes my report.
Great. Thanks very much. Mr. Roddy.
Yes, good afternoon. I spoke with Santa Barbara and Butte counties. Many of the items that they cited have already been put out there. I'll just highlight a couple of them. A concern over the 1% cap, a concern about funds to address inflationary or cost and or cost increases, courthouse construction funds, continued enhancement for security equipment, including access control equipment, outdated security cameras, and contracted security guards. And one of the counties must have contract security guards. A new one would be digital signage to display calendar data, emergency notifications, and the like in multiple languages, cloud storage solutions and funding for data warehousing, continued support for language access and BRI, another new one, increased funding for cybersecurity staff to assist the courts in addressing hardware and software needs associated with preventing intrusions and outside attacks, and a general concern about adequate funding for the cost of court security within the Sheriff's Department, understanding that that's not directly a court issue, but they wanted that out there. Facilities maintenance as well.
Did that take care of all of yours?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm done. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Romero-Souls?
Okay, so San Joaquin also mentioned the same that's been said before. They also included technology projects, facilities remodel, and I need to circle back with the Monterey Court. I can send that to Brandy later.
Okay, thanks. Brian, are you still on, Mr. Taylor?
I am. I'm here. I don't have anything really additional to add. I had Sutter and Trinity, but top priority would be additional operation funding.
Okay. Ms. Turner?
Yes, good afternoon. So I spoke with the CEO and PJ in Marin, and their top priority is in the governor's budget, which is the funding for replacement of legacy case management systems. That was really the only strong suggestion they had, was that the TCBAC continue to, to recommend that we continue to go to get additional funding to meet the original BCP's amount of $33.1 million. I also reached out to Shasta and traded emails back and forth. Have yet to have a conversation with Shasta and hope to do that perhaps by tomorrow, and I can send my input to Brandy once I have it. I also, as the CEO in Mendocino, want to raise a couple of issues that are important there. Obviously, the 1% cap restriction, lifting that would be great, although that's not really a BCP issue. We also have significant concerns about the level of court security funding. Again, this is not a branch issue, it's a sheriff's issue, but perhaps some strategies on how we can support the sheriff's office in getting more funding. Court-appointed counsel is a big issue in Mendocino County and in many of the small, medium-sized rural counties that are a little too large to have gotten funding under that small county model from last year, but have significant hurdles to overcome in terms of getting qualified attorneys working in these remote, geographically remote parts of the state. So a broadening, perhaps, of the methodology to include more courts in distribution of the money that the governor has put in his budget for court-appointed counsel. In Mendocino, we would love to have an opportunity to join the other courts that are getting replacement funding for their legacy case management systems, as at the time this BCP was originally put together, Mendocino did not jump on board, but would now like to be considered in any future budget change proposals that consider case management systems. So those were the big ideas from those courts. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate that very much. Tanya obviously cannot be here, unfortunately, so that turns us to Mr. Yamasaki. David?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. I had an opportunity to touch base with the court execs from both Napa and San Luis Obispo. They have expressed three priorities, which happen to be the same, although in different orders, with the exception of the first one. Both identified the necessity of having funding for COLAs as their top priorities, but also recognizing that in categories two and three, having sufficient funding for the backfill of these civil assessment revenue, as well as seeking additional funding for a 100% funding of WAFM. So that concludes my report.
Great. Thanks so much. So I just want to circle back and make sure all TICBAC members have had a chance to submit the information they received. Anybody that I've left out or anybody that has additional information they weren't able to share? Okay, hearing none. So, Lucy, I'll turn back to you.
Judge, we just need about 60 seconds to get the list finalized, and we'll put it up on the web at.
And I'm going to email it to everyone. So here's what.
Can I ask a question? You know, we were asked to contact other courts for their ideas about BCPs. What was not clear to me, this is Sherry Carter talking, by the way, is what about our own courts? I heard a couple express, I think Riverside explained their position. There may have been another or two. I do have one issue that I think is important that we need to discuss as a potential BCP, but it did not come from San Benito or San Bernardino. This is from me representing Los Angeles.
That's a great question, Sherry, and I should have made clear. So sort of the intent here was, rather than court-specific, for everybody just to provide information they'd received. So I should have clarified that it's in your own court or from other information you have BCP thoughts, share them. So,
okay, and I'll
Jerry,
do this
please.
Quickly because I know our time is limited.
And before you do that, if anybody else
has been that there has been no money for cost increases. There has been, I think that this was really clearly articulated by some of the courts who have not gained money under WAFM, and as those CEOs know, I've been very supportive of their position, and we made a lot of changes to the WAFM formula as a result to help with cost increases. The one thing that I do understand that there was not a request for operational funds, and I certainly understand that, but I do believe there is a need for cost increase money, and that would include employee salary increases like the state employees received in the proposed governor's budget. It's very difficult when the only funding that you receive is WAFM, whether you get some money or whether you get little money or no money, because there are two kinds of cost increases. One is needed salary increases for employees, and so many courts went without any money, and that made it difficult. Some courts received very little money, so I think the cost increases in employee salary, that should be an issue that we talk about so that we can look at the same 3.5% that the state employees are getting. The other one are cost increases related to contracts and other services. I know that an example would be the hourly wage rate increase that was mandated. Had a huge $2 million impact to janitorial costs. I think it was actually more than that. Huge cost to contracts like janitorial when the hourly wage goes up. So, again, understand WAFM is to support workload. It supports the people we need to do the workload, but there is no process for cost increases, and that's where I'm going to end it.
Great, Sherry, thank you. And is there any other TICBAC member who wanted to share perspectives from their own court about BCPs who hasn't had a chance to do that?
This is David.
This is Joe Fannin. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead, Judge.
I just echo everything Sherry Carter said. That's what we wanted to say, too.
Great. Thanks very much. David?
Yes, thank you very much. Again, following up on what Sherry mentioned, support VOES. With a special emphasis placed on needing to get COLAs. We happen to be one of those courts that really struggled to try to negotiate increases in view of the distribution. And, of course, we're completely behind WAFM and for all it stands, but we're a little bit behind the process, and certainly getting recognition for funding for COLAs is something that we identify as having to be a very top priority. We're delighted to see that the governor's proposed budget did include a language for COLAs, although not for the trial courts. I think that's a good representation that it should be a standard practice of providing courts with those sorts of funds. The other issue for us is, in addition to the civil assessment backfill, which is very important, and I realize it's certainly a complicated issue. Because we are looking at a lot of the local revenues that have been identified for provision of services and some of the commitments that are associated with those monies as well. But also a recognition that finding a solution for the shortfall in security funding becomes a very dicey proposition because we're not the direct recipients of the funding. However, we are the direct recipients of the level of service that would be at risk. So I think that has to be something that should continue to be part of a conversation as we figure out some of the priorities for the trial courts.
Great. David, thank you. Anybody else concerning other BP? Pardon me.
Linda from Merced.
Yeah. Go ahead, Linda.
I'd echo the past ones. For us, it would be COLAs and records management money.
Okay, great. So let's, I think as a group we can
Judge
agree.
Judge Conklin, if I may, this is Judge Blum on behalf of Lake County.
Go ahead, Judge.
Nothing new, but COLAs are also critical here. Dependency funding, council funding, and court construction. We were on the list, but it didn't happen.
So. Okay. So what, just then, if anybody else has input, I'll turn to that in a minute. But again, to remind everybody, staff's putting together a list right now. So if the item is already, you anticipate being on the list, then we're going to have a chance to vote on it. But if there's new items that you don't think have been addressed as far as VCP concerns, and anybody wants to share those new items, anything else we haven't talked about, great. So I don't know where staff is on getting the list out. I don't want to rush them. Go ahead.
We're good. So, Judge, here's what I recommend. So we're going to send the list. We're going to put it on the WebEx. We're also going to email it.
Okay. I think
the first step is for everyone to have a quick look at the list and let us know if there's something that they represented that isn't on there. Then the second step will be to reduce the list because it's currently at 30. And once they reduce the list to a somewhat more manageable number, we would then follow up via an email vote for the members to rank the shortened list, which would then be prioritized.
Great. So I'm looking at WebEx and mine, I think, is malfunctioning, so I'll wait for the email to come through.
Somebody, whoever's the host, has to get the host.
In the meantime, Zlatko and John are on the line. I know our time is limited. We're down to a little less than 20 minutes. To make good use of that time, do you want to, beyond what's already out there about the budget, any additional updates? Or if anybody has any brief questions, the email just came through. So does everybody either have – go ahead.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. This is John Wardlaw. If it's helpful to the committee – Zlatko and I can share some of the feedback we got from the administration on the proposals that they considered that might better inform as you guys begin to prioritize the next BCPs.
Okay.
So with respect to the way that the budget went this round, as you all know, with the transition between administrations, we had the Brown administration at the front, and at the end, Newsom's administration came in and the governor's priorities, early childhood education, universal health care, homelessness, those consumed most of the time. And so we did not get any hard stop, bad idea, don't come back to us response relative to what went forward. With respect to a conversation about the 1% cap, actually got pretty good traction from the staff level, but as that dialogue continued up into leadership, the focus was so much on Newsom's big ticket priorities that it just didn't get the time that's necessary. We didn't get a hard stop on it. So I wanted you guys to know that. I think that's an important theme I was hearing as folks were talking. With respect to new judgeships, again, didn't have much time to talk about that. No hard stop on that front. We had a BCP that was tied to increasing efficiencies within the judicial branch with respect to facilities. That idea got some traction, but they're more interested in a model of if there's efficiencies, then where's the payback? Maybe a loan scenario is where they'd be more interested. If we're committed that it's a budgetarily a winner, they're interested in that dialogue continuing. With respect to the online adjudications and traffic violations, they are interested, felt that it was a bit premature at this point, but want to continue that dialogue with us. So with that, I'll turn to Z. Any additional comments?
And the aspect of that, understanding that there's a tie to the civil assessment stabilization, they are aware of the connection between moving to a civil and the implications that it has. But again, that's an out-year issue because we did couple those civil assessment aspects to the online and civil adjudication of traffic.
Very good. I'm sorry, Zlatko, we've had this conversation before. This is Sherry Carter, but there are two separate and directly, they're related but completely separate issues related to civil assessment. One is the MOE offset,
right,
which is a legislative hole, and the other one is civil assessment in lieu of a warrant. Did
yeah.
you take the time to explain those two very different
Yeah, no, we provided them all the historical information as it relates to you know, they understand the differences and the different levels of MOEs that exist with the courts and the fact that not all courts participate in that.
Those MOEs are not with the courts. That was the legislative decision not to fund that MOE offset to the counties. That was not, so we're not going to go down that discussion, but it's important to keep those separate because one is in lieu of a warrant, one is the legislature not funding the benefit they gave to the counties for losing those fees. Two very different pieces that I think are important to separate.
Sherry, we're in full agreement with that, and finance did not give us a hard stop on that either. I think that's open for further discussion. The final piece that they commented on is they noticed that we did not have a broad discretionary operations ask, and from their perspective, they are aware that over, if you looked at all funding coming into the branch, we're upwards of about 94% funding for operations. And should we have another ask, I think we would need to be really in a good position to defend how it is that we would need additional dollars. So they commented only from the perspective of they recognized there was not an operations ask, and should we have one in the future, it would need to be very well defined. So that's it for me, Judge.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. So I want to circle back now, recognizing a limitation on time, to the BCP concepts. I assume everybody either has the email with the 30 items or the WebEx with the 30 items. So Lucy, why don't you once again your suggestion about how to best cover these 30?
So I think initially I want to know if there's anything missing.
Great. Anybody from what you've, either your own courts or the other input you received, anybody see anything missing? If you do, in the interest of time, circle back to Sherry or Brandy as we move to next steps. So with that, recognizing at least right now, this list appears to be as all-inclusive as possible.
But I think we need to reduce it.
Right.
I wouldn't want to send 30 items necessarily to the members to vote because we're probably going to end up with we need some priority rising to the top, and I think when you've got a list of 30, that could be problematic.
So input on that would be very helpful. For instance, I'm looking at item 15, 90% WAFM funding. If I understood what John just said, and I know this will come out and sound insensitive, but that, John, that appears to be something that they have said, well, we're already at 90%, so I'm not sure BCP needs to come forward on that. Is that accurate?
They took notice that we did not have an operations ask and made comment that should we have one in the future, they would want to dig in pretty deeply. That was the response back.
And
you have a thought,
Carter, I will be willing to help you craft a message because while we may be 94% under WAFM, that is workload-based, that 94% has been significantly eroded from cost increases, both salary and non-salary cost increases. So while it may look like we're 94% funded, that is all workload-based funding, mostly workload-based funding.
Right, so that's an excellent point, Sherry, which is why I was just about to ask John if he could provide for us an alternative way to word that message. And I think Sherry's suggestion is a very good one, but more about cost of living increases and other increases that Sherry just mentioned rather than workload-based. Does that have any traction?
We won't know, Judge, until we make the ask. Certainly, I think to the extent that we can craft a message that's well-founded, I think finance is open to the discussion. They've just said, if there's another one coming, we're in the mood of digging quite deeply. So that's where we're at.
Okay.
Hey, Judge Conklin, this is Chad Finke. Can I ask a question real quick of John, just because I'm curious?
Sure.
What are the magic words that you guys use every year that convinces them to give the 3.5% to the state level folks? And how can we say that, I guess? Because I completely agree with Sherry. I mean, setting aside the workload, you know, like a lot of people, I mean, whose minimum wages are going up, we have literally the exact same issue that she described with janitorial. So setting aside COLAs for employees, it's just all these outside costs that we don't have any control over. And so I do think it's important to try to convey that, and it's starting to seem like we're now the only group that isn't getting that kind of an increase every year. And it, you know, I just wonder what we can do to get that message across. So that's it.
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. I think the reaction we will likely get with respect to the COLA issue is generally the branches come forward asking for discretionary funding for the purposes of a wide variety of needs, one including increases. And whether or not we have sufficiently made the ask, I guess, is debatable. But from their perspective, the dollars that we've gotten are for that purpose. It is for each court to identify and prioritize and then fund. And so in their minds, it's a challenge if it's do you want discretionary funding or very specific dollars? What's also complicating is you also have the unions that also are heavyweights in the negotiation that are also at the Capitol. I think it's the discretionary ask that we make and the assumption and the way we have characterized in our budget snapshots, for example, many of the courts said, hey, we need to give increases. Now, whether or not there was enough money placed in the budget for that purpose, we should explore. But that's kind of the dynamic that finance wrestles with.
So just to get back to Lucy's suggestion, and I appreciate that, of the 30 that we have up here right now and whether or not there's some of these that folks think we could just sort of defer or refer, I'm seeing quite a few of these that are somewhat duplicative about technology. For instance, number 6, technology cost. You go down number 14, records management, digitizing. 13, technology to capture verbatim record. 23, electronic. So is there a way we could perhaps consolidate these into a general technology cost, including the following? Does that make any sense, Lucy?
I'll let John and Zach talk to that, frankly.
No, I think that it would be, you know, the committee's, you know, best guidance to really look at the list and think what's the best approach, given that it's...
John, this is Terry Jackson. John, can you hear me? The only problem with that would be, I do understand we want to consolidate all the technology, but when we're talking about verbatim, I think that should be a separate and distinct category. Because when I think of technology, I think of our systems, you know, what case management systems we need in our courts, which is totally different from what now we are dictated to do under the Supreme Court, having certain people and cases to be recorded, and we don't have the court reporters, and more courts are going to be going to use JABs and limited jurisdiction cases. So that's why I wanted to keep that separate. Am I making sense to you?
I don't disagree that 13, technology to capture a verbatim record, is a very good one. Obviously, that touches upon legislative issues related to court reporters and where they're mandated.
This is Jeff Barton. I'll note that item 4 and 9 are both needs but not BCPs.
And I'd actually like to, this is Rebecca, I'd like to mention number 7 on the civil assessments. It would seem to me two things. First of all, it looks like there is some traction already on the civil assessment conversation. And while I completely agree with Sherry that we're talking about two distinct pieces of civil assessments, it might allow for more conversation around the maintenance of efforts, the fact that we've had some backfill commitment already. The second thing is, if we don't get some kind of a commitment, we're going to be discussing this internally, and it's really going to be us pushing numbers around from court to court. And I think that if we were able to get a commitment on the maintenance of effort, I think there is an opportunity to avoid some maybe difficult feelings within the branch. And so for that reason alone, I think that would be a high priority for us, just in the fact that there's already some interest in it.
Okay, so we're getting rather tight on time. It's 1:05, and we have another public meeting from many of our subcommittee members participating in at 1:00. So, Lucy or Brandy, we might just be to the point where I just haven't heard a consensus to remove any of these.
And well, I think we send the whole list, yes.
We'll send the whole list out, and when that goes out, Lucy's or Brandy's going to send a value system suggestion. So you vote for your top three, and number one has 5 points, number three has 3 points, and number two has 3 points, and number three has 1 point for as a suggestion. So this list is going to go back out to everybody with instructions about how to vote, what the vote hierarchy will be, and when to have that vote in. Is that accurate, Lucy?
Yes.
Judge Conklin, Sherry Carter, I know we just have a minute, but is there benefit, maybe this is more to John, is there benefit to keeping the ones that are actually in the governor's proposed budget? Because if those are already identified as needs, why would we want to vote on those as a BCP if they look like they're already going to get funded?
That's a great question. John?
Yeah, I agree, Sherry. I think that to the extent they're in the governor's budget, they're on the track. They're clearly a priority of ours and the administration moving forward. I would recommend that we just pull those items.
Okay,
yeah,
so could
I also think that since BCPs, rather than individual, it seems like we should be focusing on branch-wide benefit issues for BCPs, and then for those things that impact individual courts, they may want to work with the technology and other committees to try to get another BCP cobbled together, like the successful one that looks like it's going to get funded for the CMS system. So I agree with you, Judge Conklin. A big list like this is going to dilute, I think, what ultimately should be seen as priorities for the branch, not for individual courts, but for the branch. So that would be my thought.
Okay, great. One last thing. What I'm going to interrupt here. What I'm going to do, John, I'm going to ask you and I'm to remove from the BCP concept list that we have, or anybody else, any other staff member, anything that in your opinion is already reflected in the budget. But could you please asterisk that and list it below so all the committee members know why it was removed?
Certainly.
If there
and
are
also, this is Kim Turner, also potentially remove anything that really isn't the BCP, like the 1% reserve cap.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
funding for the sheriff to do court security. I hate to have us voting on things that we actually don't want that aren't really BCPs.
Exactly. That's a great idea. And also keep in mind, as Sherry, I think, mentioned, you know, we have quite a few other advisory committees that are also providing input to JBBC about BCPs. I know I'm using a lot of initials, especially technology. So if in staff's view, and I think this is, I forget who said this, in staff's perspective, if any of these BCPs appear to be singular or isolated to individual courts, that comment is appropriate.
That too, Judge. And one last thing, I think there is opportunity to help this conversation and move forward productively if we could try to group them, and then we can identify within those groups some of the key global opportunities for a benefit. That would be helpful for everybody.
Great. So it's 1:00. So this email will come out to everybody. If there's a concern that I rushed this meeting or a concern that folks did not have an opportunity to be heard, I want to make sure that opportunity exists so we can, in the meantime, arrange, if necessary, another urgent telephonic meeting of TICBAC members. Time was a little critical here, and I want to make sure that these are going to move to JBBC, everybody had a chance to be heard. So once you get the email, if you don't feel the email adequately reflects what we discussed today or your concerns, please get back to me, and I will then work with staff to try to get another meeting set up if that's appropriate. Anything else anybody wants to add right now?
Judge, I'm sorry, just one more comment. This is John Wardlaw. With respect to the 1% cap, I would ask that we have that on the list just because I think it's such a pervasive priority of the branch that I think should we not have the right traction as we head toward the May revision this time, a BCP should be in the hopper. I know we're not asking for any money. It'd be trailer bill language, but it is of such an importance, I think, for the branch that we should have that.
Great. I think then we'll keep it on the list.
Okay.
Okay, great. So for those FPS members on the line, we're about to hang up and then call right back in. We have to do it because that's a separate public meeting. So please call right back in and we'll take care of the FPS. Everybody else on the line, thank you so much. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you and goodbye.